Here is Robert Parkinson in the studio, and we're going to talk about how to overcome stress and become confident. So, dealing with stress in the year of the monkey, that's our topic of the Career Builder. It could be that the economy is booming and there's pressure to drive a better car, live in a better house, and wear more expensive clothes. Wow, that's expensive. It could also be the case that the economy is tanking and there is pressure to stay put and maintain a quality life. There's even a possibility your family is encouraging you to take it easy and have a rest, even though this may not be practical. It is hard to dispute that in modern China, competition and pressure abound. And I'm not really limiting this one in just the modern China. I think everywhere on this planet Earth, we are all living under stress. Let me invent expression. It makes me think about DUI, driving under influence, right?
Yep.
And now we have WS, is working under stress.
Working under stress, yeah.
That's something born, huh? A new expression born in the Studio Plus studio.
Studio,
right.
Legal,
you heard it right here. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Well, great to be with you, as always, first of all.
Happy monkey year, right?
Happy monkey year to you guys, too. I think what the reason this is an interesting topic for me, and the reason I wanted to speak about it, actually, is because about 8 years ago, I was talking to someone who told me that if you have reduced stress levels, your mental capacity is vastly improved. Meaning that, for example, if you are in a position at work where you have to make important decisions that influence other people or influence money or anything like that, and you are stressed, that scientifically you're likely to make a far poorer decision. Whereas if you're relaxed and you have to, again, be a bit scientific, you activate what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, the feel good hormones, you make a better decision because you use your mental capacity more.
I cannot agree with you more. You know why? Because hosting a show like this is that if you ask a beginner to come to in front of this radio,
right,
a mic would just scare him to death.
I was pretty scared the first day.
Yeah, at the very beginning. I always said to my co-host now, Byron, he is much more relaxed now, right? You feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's the mic, it has become a part of our life. So
yeah.
This makes me think, David, Robert, it's like we need to marry stress.
Yeah.
We have to reach the consensus that we cannot get rid of stress, right?
I think it's true. I mean, I think, stress is a part of our lives. And I think that generally people are pretty undereducated about stress. And there are extremes, there are societies, and particularly the US, which takes an extremely over-medicated view of how to deal with stress. And I kind of tend to go away from that view. I tend to be more pragmatic in that, stress is something simply that needs to be handled, can be handled as part of an everyday life and should be. But I think people need to be more educated about it because if stress is constant and you have the sympathetic nervous system, in other words, the fight or flight response, constantly activated.
I cannot resist myself of comparing stress to a marriage.
Well,
you marry the person, right?
Yeah.
His name is stress. And then if you deal with this man, I'm a woman, definitely, with love.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Understand it.
Yeah.
And, coexist, friendly sort of respect each other.
Yeah.
And then maybe you come up with a very good result because sometimes certain amount of stress is good to a person.
Right. I think the key that I would say, if you look at the marriage analogy, and I certainly wouldn't, if my wife's listening, call her stress. Yeah, she wouldn't like that.
You're going to offend her, definitely.
I'll find myself locked out when I get back. But I think it's a question of acceptance. And I think it's a question of accepting and dealing with, exactly, understanding and learning basic tools. And I've got a few tools for you here of how to how to deal with these problems.
Indeed. And first of all, you know, pressure, what is reasonable and how, you know, when does it become stress? Sometimes, you know, we say before we get on stage or before we turn on the air mic.
Yeah.
We always believe that a slight level of stress is helping us to, you know, bring the best out of
right.
ourselves.
Absolutely.
So when it's like a marriage, again, I just cannot help it.
Yeah.
You know, if you handle it wrong, it goes to the opposite side. But if you handle it well, it's romantic. It's so good.
Yeah, it gives you the edge. You're
so,
absolutely
so
right.
So where is the point?
Well, I think it a lot depends on who you are. You know, a lot depends on your DNA because some people are motivated towards things, towards goals, towards, I am, for example, I'm motivated towards things, you know, if you like the carrot effect. And some people are motivated away from effectively fear or pain or stuff that's going to hurt them. And I'm not someone like that. I'm more of a risk taker. So it depends who you are.
Are you saying that it's, you know, decided genetically?
I think genetics play a huge influence. I think upbringing, that in
education.
So yeah, in psychology we talk about the formative years, which are between the ages of 4 and 7.
Oh yeah,
that those are the years when
critical.
That really
very
form
critical.
our beliefs and behaviours and habits,
mm-hmm.
And also you know. The response to stressful situations is often copied
mm-hmm.
by people and
inherited from the family.
Not in a genetic sense, but inherited in
the
in
culture.
Sense of
culture
wise, it's copied, it's repeated,
yeah.
And there's also a belief that you can't change, and it's a belief that particularly irritates me actually, that you can't do anything about it, and you can't change how to cope and deal with stress.
And I would say you should embrace stress, because if I look at my own grandfather, he basically worked until the day he died, actually.
Yeah.
And he was alert every single day.
Yeah.
Because he never went to an old folks home, he never really let go, and he was always just on top of it all the time.
Right, right.
Yes. If we agree that we have different personalities,
mm.
and we have genetically, sometimes it's different. Some are very neurotic,
mm.
some are easy to explode, you know, some
right.
are very calm. If we acknowledge that we have differences in here,
yeah.
how can different people with different personalities finally find their own way of calming down and dealing with their stress? Do we have to rely on the education system?
Well, I think we need to rely on a few tools. But what's interesting
mm-hmm.
is the people that tend to be, and again, this is a subjective point, but the people that tend to be the achievers in life, for example, Steve Jobs
mm-hmm.
is a very well-documented high achiever,
mm-hmm.
but his temper and the way he treated people is also very well-documented.
Yes.
So, you know, people who have a personality strength in one area often have a weakness in another area. So one of my bits of advice for our listeners, a simple bit of advice, you know, people can go way too far, you know, when it comes to dealing with stress. They can go and see therapists and talk about antidepressants and all that sort of stuff.
Medication,
and half the,
huh?
It's not needed half
no.
the time. I'll tell you what I do
mm.
when I feel stressed,
mm-hmm.
and not actually. I simply write it down. I keep a diary. And I find it a brilliant way.
I need to shake your hand. Let me shake
yes.
your hand. Although our listeners cannot see us, I'm handing your hand. Yeah,
I've tried
indeed.
It. It's pretty helpful, actually.
Yeah, indeed.
Super helpful. And what tends to happen is it slows feelings down. So if you feel particularly irritated about someone or particularly happy about something, by writing it down, it rationalizes the event and you see it in a broader context.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a negative if it's a negative thing, it just has a way of neutralizing.
You know, Robert, we both, or maybe including Byron, three of us, had this experience of writing down. And actually, this is a conversation to yourself, to your
exactly.
own heart. And if you don't really, or if you're lazy, a person, you don't want to keep a diary, I have one similar thing. Look at yourself in the mirror.
Mm.
Talk to yourself.
Mm.
You look into your own eyes and then find out the rationality in the thing.
Yeah.
This is another way. And then if you are not used to, you know, talking crazy to yourself, it's like act like a, you know, idiot, right?
Yeah.
Then you can talk to your best friend.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. And it'll prevent you from ruminating about it when you sleep.
Indeed. Yeah. Why we have chosen to write diaries is because I don't want to burden my problem with others. They may not be in the mood of accepting all these things.
Absolutely.
So I chose to write diaries. And I think I remember in my 30s or something, the highest peak time of stress in career, I have stacks of diary books over there.
Yeah.
And they were terribly written, both in Chinese and English. It's just to scribble down anything. Yeah. Sort of things
Absolutely.
Like that.
What Byron's just made a really interesting point, actually, about this, because what my experience is, when I try and keep my diary at the end of every day, I use my iPad, so it's password protected.
Oh, you're doing now.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, so no one can read it. And what happens is, when I've written a diary for 15 minutes or so, I feel tired. I feel like going to sleep. So it has a knock-on effect of helping you sleep well.
So you are skipping the sleeping pill.
And that also
using
helps
the diary book, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Absolutely. We will be back very soon. Stay tuned.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus, something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Studio Plus.
Yes, you're listening to Studio Plus. We are in the middle of our career builder segment with Robert Parkinson. And, you know, we are talking about how
dealing
to deal
with stress.
Yeah, dealing with stress. And we are under, actually being modern human being, being a modern human being, poor English. we cannot get rid of stress, right? We
sure.
live under stress every day on daily basis. And here is one of the tips is to keep diary, as we have mentioned, and talking to yourself. But I think not everyone wants to pick up a pen and piece of paper or diary book. What about prioritize your things?
Well, I think that is another great thing to do. I'm a big fan of the apps on the you know, your iPhone, and there's one called Swipes, and it's a very simple way of adding things into your effectively your to-do list that you can then get rid of, because when you've done something, that causes a mental sense of achievement, and I think that's very important. The other thing I think that just in terms of looking at stress, when stress gets little bit more than, you know, just normal stress, another really important thing is how people breathe. And again, I'm not a doctor, so people have got to understand if they've got serious stress problems, they need to go and see their GP. But how people, when you look at stressed people, you'll often see them breathing through their chest, whereas actually what you need to do is breathe through the abdomen, through the belly, through the diaphragm.
That's usually yoga practices will teach you.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
But that's a physical thing. I think if you're so overly stressed, you do have difficulty in breathing. So that means stress comes first. It's not because you know how to breathe, then you don't have stress.
Well, they're linked. You know, one
I know
causes
they're linked.
The other.
That's only a therapeutical thing. You know, you can use that right way of breathing to fix your stress problem.
That's right.
But let's go back to some practical, like prioritizing your stuff.
Yeah.
Because we are stressed. We're nervous because we have too many things to do.
Sure.
Even
sure.
as a primary school student.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can become very stressed.
Oh, they can.
Because
You're
their
right.
mom is asking, tiger moms are asking them to finish too many tasks.
Yeah.
And then even such a small kid needs to learn.
Yeah.
How to prioritize their tasks.
That's
which
right.
one comes first? Which one is more important than the other?
Yeah.
You know, you finish something first, right? And put off something unimportant or less important. And another thing, Robert, I think the other day we were studying about procrastination. Byron.
Oh, yes.
You have a lifestyle.
Very useful one, yeah.
So there are people who always procrastinate. But if you overcome this shortcoming, you become somebody who always finish things on time.
Yeah.
This will help reduce your stress.
That's right.
Do you agree with me?
I do. There's a great book, which I believe I've mentioned on this show before, by Richard Branson, the founder of the Virgin Group, called, it's a very short book, and it's called Screw It, Just Do It. And
okay, good advice. Just do it.
It means just get on with it.
Don't think about it. Just do it.
Just do it. Because if you think about it too, some people spend their whole lives thinking about it. There was a great quote, actually, from Jack Ma about, it's a long quote, but it was about poor people.
Oh, I love this one.
In essence, he was saying the reason people stay poor is because they never do anything. They never do anything to change their lives.
They're always thinking to be or not to be.
The exact quote was, if you're 35 and still poor, you deserve it.
Yeah.
That's the actual quote,
I think.
That's a little bit unsympathetic.
It is, but...
Cruel-hearted.
It's
cold-hearted, cold-blooded.
It
fits into this modern world, right? You know, it's so competitive, right?
I think one other tip to relieve stress is that I think you need to fit some exercise into your schedule because it kills off adrenaline.
Totally.
But
yes,
do you have enough time for that, Robert?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I like, and, you know, I'm not the best example being slightly overweight, as people keep reminding
you?
Me.
But... No.
You're perfect.
No, I wish. But, you know, just building it into your life. So doing stuff like, you know, taking the stairs, walking up the stairs. When my father visits from the UK, he always amuses me because he insists on taking the stairs everywhere, even if it's 10 floors.
Very strong-willed old, you know, not old.
Oh, no, he is.
He is.
He is.
But, Father, you're not listening to me, okay?
The other thing I kind of like, I mean, it's a bit weird, but I kind of like it, is it, coming in these days, are stand-up desks.
Oh,
so
really?
Instead of people sitting down, you know, you have your computer at... you know, whatever, six foot high, and you do your work like that, so you actually burn calories just, you know, in the process of propping yourself up.
You know, being young means you don't want to bother to exercise, and that's a lesson that when, we ages, and it teaches us why seniors are more active in exercising their bodies, because there is a need. If they do not doing so, the machine is not working properly.
Sure.
I'm thinking about, like you said, stress is largely caused by mental labor, mental work.
Uh-huh.
So laboring, physical labor, will seldom lead you to stress.
No, that's right. I mean, as Byron said, it's a brilliant way to...
Byron is doing very well because almost every day after the show, he is going to the gym.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, it gets the endorphins, you know, the natural painkillers flowing, gets the serotonin
but if we
flowing.
But if we do not have this habit like me,
then
it's a pain to exercise. How can we do something to patch up?
I tell you what I think, and I've thought this apropos of myself recently, is people talk about losing weight and the fact that exercise actually doesn't really help you lose weight. You have to watch what you eat. And I think they get that confused by the positive benefits to be had of cardiovascular exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of got to do both, I think. But
what about starting from very young? Like just now earlier or previously, you mentioned that the habit formation is a period of time, formative. It's between 4 to 7 years. And during this several years for parents, try to, embed, I call it, the idea of exercise. Using it's just nurture a hobby for your kid.
It is.
For example, badminton could be, some other, you know, ping pong.
Yeah.
Even small sort of space, small space.
Yeah.
Place. Will do.
I think the issue, I mean, I was sitting in a restaurant with my wife the other day and we watched these people and with two parents and a small child, and they got all three of them produced various tablet devices and started fiddling around with them. And we've now got into the habit of actually leaving our iPhones in the car when we go out and eat somewhere. So there's no distraction.
Good.
And I think that, I think what you say is super important, that children get used to exercising. It's such a social thing to do.
It's never late. For adults, we can, like you are, it takes just the willpower.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? You leave your phones in the car and just, you know, disappear.
Yeah.
disappear from the internet,
that's it.
Yeah, that's a very good one, because we're talking about people who are already feeling the stress and the pressure.
Yeah.
Quick tips.
Yeah.
Quick ones.
Well, another quick...
In summary.
In summary, I think, you know, one of the things I would say is taking regular breaks, as you say, away from your... internet world, you know, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a coffee, whether it's going to the gym, because that also helps you get things into perspective, which in turn, in the same way as diary writing, that slows down the emotion attached to a situation, and
prioritize your work
and get the task done. Be specific about tasks
ahead of time instead of procrastinate.
Right.
And lastly, I think, Robert, we both have to agree that always stay with your loved ones.
Absolutely. You've got to have, well, you, science suggests that not only your loved ones, but also
friends
around
friendship.
You are super important. One of the reasons I go to work is not, I have to say, because of
the lovely team
to make money. It's because I have fun and I have a laugh
and
with the people that are there. Exactly.
Indeed.
So, super important.
Very useful.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Robert, for that.